Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, like I said, we're in a series on the greatest commandment. And this morning's session is loving God with our obedience. We've been looking at loving God with all of our might, all of our soul, all of our everything. And today we're going to look at loving God with our obedience and what the Word has to say about it, because there's actually a lot where God connects in the Bible loving Him and obeying Him as like the same, that they are they're connected. Now, I just can't express this clearer, and it might feel a little like non-ooey-gooey lovey-dovey related to the subject of loving God, but I just can't express this any clearer. The greatest expression of love to God is that we obey Him. It's not worshiping loud, though worship loud if you want to, or worship quiet if that's your thing. It's not about, you know, the way that, you know, we've structured this or that in our lives. All of that is helpful. All of it's helpful. But ultimately, if we don't obey Him, we can't say we love Him. And let's read what the Word says. 1 John 5:3 says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. Oh, and His commands are not burdensome. See, if they're burdensome to us, it's because we don't get it yet. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're like, man, all these things that the Bible says I got to do and not do, it's a burden. I want to invite you to do a little bit of a journey with the Lord and start to ask the question of the Lord, Lord, why is my perspective this way? Why do I feel like Your commands are burdensome? Because the Bible says Your commands aren't burdensome. So if I feel like they're burdensome, there's probably not something wrong with the Bible. There's probably something wrong with me. Listen, the greatest thing you can admit is that there's something wrong with you. You're a sinner. You need Jesus. You got issues. You're just like me. And that is a great starting point for the journey of loving God, because He says this. John says, in fact, you just got to love that, in fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. So when we're talking about the greatest commandment, to love God with all, we can't possibly skip over obedience. Because this is love for God, that we obey Him. Now, we're real clear, we've been in this series a while, we're real clear that the subject of love is a really important one. The tail end of this verse that we'll put up out of 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I have not love, I am nothing. I just want to focus on that. But if I have not love, I am nothing. Just thinking about our lives defined by that point. We want love. We want love for God. We want love for people. We want to flow in love. God is love. We obviously want to be very tapped into this whole love reality. But Paul says it really clear. He's like, listen, it doesn't matter what you have in your life. If you don't have love, you got bubkus. You got nothing. You want to have love. You want to be all about that, having that rule in your hearts, being a thought process in your mind, an aspiration of your life. And what we just read was, the way that God defines love is that we obey God. So now connect those two dots. Let's put those two things together. If we want to have love in our lives, and all of us do, we've got to have obedience in our lives. And this is so foundational to Christianity. It's so important. John 14, verse 15. I'm just going to shower us this morning with verses that all say the same thing. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commands. It's really easy to say that we love Jesus. It's really easy to pray a prayer. It's really easy relatively easy, to go to church. It's not quite as easy to obey Jesus. And He says, if you love me, this is what love looks like. It's to obey me. That's what it means. You can't do the greatest commandment and not obey Jesus. It's not real. It's not true about yourself. In fact, 1 John 2:4, gosh, does this get offensive? I just want us to feel the offense of this. I want to get it all, like, I want to have it hit us at 100% here this morning. 1 John 2:4, Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. Oh my gosh. John going for the jugular. Says, if you say you love Jesus, but you don't obey Jesus, there's no niceties. There's no covering it over. You're actually a liar. And the truth is not in you. Oh my gosh. Now listen, this verse totally simplifies everything if we'll just take the word for what it says. If we won't try to make this mean something it doesn't, which you just have to ignore this Bible verse to make it mean something else. Because it's just like, as in your face, I don't think if we thought about it for a year, we could come up with a clearer way to say it. Like, if you don't obey Jesus and you say you love Jesus, you are a liar, liar, pants on fire. It's not true. And the truth isn't in you. You think the truth is in you. The truth isn't in you. This simplifies who is a Christian and who is not a Christian. This really simplifies it. It's really this simple. Because remember, God defines love. He says, this is love, that you'd obey the commands of the Lord, that we would obey Jesus. Man, but that is offensive, right? Just look at that. I'm sure glad John said it, not me. I'm just quoting John. Because, man, that's intense. But just look at that verse. Let's read it again. Whoever says, your mom, your neighbor, you, whoever says, I know him, I know Jesus, I'm a Christian, I love God, I know him, I'm a believer, I follow God, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. There's something else that's motivating those statements of, I know him, I'm a follower of God. It's something else, but it's not the truth. Because if we know him, we will obey him. And this is love. Man, in this pursuit of the greatest commandment, as we're looking at how do we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we've got to go down this journey of obedience. We need to align with this. Let's not argue with the Bible. Let's just let the Bible win. And then let's ask God for help, because he really loves to help. It's his favorite thing. He loves to help us in our weakness, and man, does he know we are weak. Before we get into that weakness thing, though, I want to give you a thought process. Sometimes obedience is easy because it was something you already wanted to do. And maybe that's because you've been walking with the Lord a little bit and you see the wisdom of what it is that he's asked. It's really great. I love it when I'm doing something because the Bible says it, and then suddenly I have one of those aha moments and go, oh, this was actually a good idea. Oh, this was smart. Like, oh, you know how humans work. This was actually better for me. And then the next time I do it and I feel good about it because I'm like, this was smart. Like, this is good. This isn't just God said it. I now understand why God said it. I love those. But you know what? That's not where we start. We most often start with the Bible says go left, and everything in you is like, I want to go right. I'm going right. But the Bible, I know, but it, left. The Bible says go left. We go left. We go left. Now, let me give you a little piece of encouragement here. I want all of us to feel the permission, to feel the invitation to fellowship with Jesus as we go left hating it. Jesus says, I want you to go this direction. And we're like, I don't want to do that at all, but I will. And I know you're with me. I know you see this. I know you are so pleased. If God could be happier today than he was yesterday, he's happier. He's just happier when you go left and don't want to, because the Bible says go this direction. I want for you in those moments to see yourself obeying Jesus at great personal cost, whatever that cost is. If it's emotional, if it's, you know, for some of you, it's tithing. You're like, oh man, they keep talking about, you know, giving money. Well, that's because the Bible says give money. It's like, man, that one stings. Some of you, it might be last week, we were talking about our speech. It's like some area of your speech that you know the Lord's highlighting is like, I really want you to bring that under submission here. You can't just talk like how you want. You can't just say whatever you want. And you're like, I don't want to, but I'll do it because your Bible says to. When we obey the word and we don't want to, we need to feel that extra nearness, presence. God is with us. He's watching. He sees the sacrifice. I want to encourage you, press into fellowship with God in the moments where you are obeying and really, really don't want to. I find those to be some of the sweetest moments because I kind of don't even think about it when I'm doing the thing that I know is right and I believe it's right and I do it already kind of just automatically. It's the moments where I come to a revelation. Ooh, obedience to Jesus looks like doing that. I really, really don't want to do that. Jesus, I'm going to do this for you because I know it's right. And I know you know I really don't like this. I don't want to. I'm not happy. Help me be a little happier because I'm kind of grumpy about it right now. It's a grumpy obedience, but that's better than nothing. Help me and fellowship with him. Imagine him right there, so pleased that you would do what's right because it's right, not because you feel about it and you feel good about it. Guys, this can really change those moments for you. If you'll force yourself to fellowship with Jesus in that moment and go, I know you're, I mean, your Bible said it. I'm only doing this because you said it. I'm not doing it. I mean, why would I be into self-hate? Like, I don't want to do the thing. Why would I just do it for the sake of, you know, doing something horrible for myself? It's because he knows better. His word is right and true. It's our perspective that's jaded. He knows what's right. If he says go left, left is better for you. So we just fellowship with him and we go, Lord, I'm going to do this because it's what your word says, because it's right. I'm going to do it. And then trust that he sees you. Well, you know, in this whole thing, he formed us. He knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows where we came from. He knows our unique propensities towards different darknesses, different areas of darkness. He knows that you like bad things that are different than the bad things to the person sitting next to you. He knows where we're weak. He knows where we're prone to sin. He knows it. I love this verse, Psalm 103, verse 14. He knows how we are formed. He remembers we are dust. He knows. He knows you're dust. You're not so impressive. You know, you're just a bunch of little dust particles put together, and then he breathed life into you, and all of a sudden you're amazing. He knows how we were formed. He understands our weaknesses. You know, the whole principle of Jesus as the high priest is that he knows all of our weaknesses. He's got it. He understands. But even though he knows our weaknesses, that doesn't give us like a get out of jail free card related to sin, related to disobedience. He's calling us, even in our weakness, that we would be those that obey. He defines love by that obedience. I just want to talk about that unique weakness thing. And one of the things in our generation that is becoming increasingly more of a subject for everybody to have to think about and face is all the areas related to sexual immorality. It's just, it's becoming such a wild, you know, gambit of options, of ways to find yourself off. Let me just tell you, it's really, really simple. God made it really clear that all that realm is between a man and a woman in a marriage relationship. And whether someone is going this direction wrong in the area of sexual immorality, or this direction, or this direction, or it's two people that are, you know, heterosexual and they move in together, but they're not married, it's all wrong. It's all wrong. It's all real simple. God requires us to walk according to his purposes. But here's the thing. I recognize that this person really has desires, longings, and a lot of them are unsanctified because I'm working through my unsanctified desires. And we are all unique in the ways that we specifically want wrong things, but we're all together in the fact that all of us want to do wrong stuff. It just so happens you want to do that dumb thing and I want to do this dumb thing. But we've all got the same problem. We want to do dumb stuff. All of us are dummies. We need help. And the Lord wants to help us in the journey. But none of it's excused. None of it. And so there's this conversation right now in our generation. It's like, well, this person was born with these desires. I've got horrible desires. I know what it's like to be born with horrible desires. I'm not given an excuse to go and embrace them. It doesn't matter what my horrible desire is. And I've got plenty of them. We've got to learn to crucify our flesh. We've got to learn to walk according to what the Word of God says and not according to our own thoughts and desires and longings. Instead, we got to love God and got to ask him for help to love him. And he will help us. It is his desire. He knows we are but dust. He knows how you were formed. He knows that you've got desires that are not good. So whatever those desires are, you're not unique. You're like, well, man, I've really got some of these really interesting, you know, thoughts about these things. I've got these really deep desires in some ways that I just know that the Bible is not about. Listen, he'll help you, but don't give in to him. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's stealing or immorality or greed or whatever, none of it's good. Don't give in to it. Instead, look at it and go, help me. Help me to obey you. Empower me to obey you. You couldn't have asked me to obey you if you weren't going to then help me do it. So help me. And he'll help you. But let's not make excuses. And let's not go the way of our culture that's excusing left and right, and it's calling evil good and calling good evil. Let's not do it. Let's be those that hold to the word of God. We say, listen, there's some stuff in this book that are tough pills to swallow. And that's just the way it is. And he'll give us grace because he knows what's better for us. He made us. He formed us. If anybody gets to vote on what right and wrong is, it's the one that formed us out of dust. And he gets to vote. He's already told us how it ought to go. He's given us power to overcome. Look at Luke 10:19 and then 2 Timothy 1. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. 2 Timothy 1, God did not give us a spirit of timidity. He gave us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. The reason that I want to connect those verses and specifically even that phrase, a spirit of power and also a spirit of self-discipline, is because you're going to need that power from God for self-discipline to not do the dumb thing you want to do. And he says, I've given you power to overcome all the enemy. You actually do have the tools that you need in order to overcome the things in this life and to be successful. We got to learn to love him on his terms, though. And I'm watching a generation, and it's not only ours, it's the snowball is going down the hill faster in our generation. I'm watching a generation redefine righteousness, redefine truth, redefine love for God. But remember what the word says? The one who says, I love God, I know him, but doesn't do what the Bible says is not actually a Christian. They're a liar. Let's not be liars. Let's be in a generation that's growing in that whole lie thing, but be a generation that's operating in love and truth that obeys the commands of the Lord. Here's what it says. We got to love him on his command, on his terms. John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and I remain in his love. We got to keep his commands. That's how we remain in his love. So the person that gives their life to Jesus, and they mean it. I mean, they're in. They've now got to keep the commands of the Lord. They've got to walk with the Lord, follow his teachings, actually walk where he walks and say what he says. It's required. It's not an option. And we're being sold a version of Christianity that says obedience is an optional component of Christianity. It is a defining component of Christianity. It's not optional. There is no, you don't get to make up your own religion. All those made-up religions are going to wind up in the same hell. There's only one way. We got to love Jesus and follow his commands. He said, this is how I define love. So in a subject of the greatest commandment and our life pursuit, what do we want to give our lives to? We got to give our lives to obeying Jesus, even when we don't like it. And we find the sweetness of fellowship in those moments, even as we sacrifice. And it's really not sacrifice. It's just our perspective wants to use that word. Because really later on, after we're a little smarter, we look back and go, what a dummy I was. I can't believe it. I thought that was a big deal. This was so much better. Your ways are so much better. Your ways are higher. I can't lean on my own understanding. I'm dust. How can dust be smart? Dust isn't smart. Dust just needs to say, yes, sir, you got a better plan than me. Let's not lean on our own understanding. That is dangerous right there. Let's look at the one that actually loves God. Let's just read these verses over. You know, just let each one of them wash over us and define truth, define love, define obedience, define Christianity. The one who enters heaven, Jesus said it really clear, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one that does the will of my Father. This is another one of those really clear defining Are you a Christian? Are they a Christian? Do they do the will of the Father? If they don't do the will of the Father, they're not going to enter the kingdom of God just because they said, Lord, Lord. And there'll be a lot of people saying, Lord, Lord. Isn't it way easier to say, Lord, Lord, than obey? It's like infinitely easier. Infinitely easier to go through the motions, go to church, pray a little, you know, talk about how you're a Christian, but then not obey the commands of the Bible, because that would be restrictive. That means I couldn't sin. Now I want to sin. I want to sin. Bible will cramp in my style. Well, you're going to go to hell too. I mean, it's like, this is real. The one that obeys the commands, the one that does the will of the Father in heaven, that's the one who enters the kingdom. How about the one that loves Jesus? I want to love Jesus. I want to be one that loves him. John 14, 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Man, my Father will love them. He will come to them and make our home with them. There's just so much there. I can't right now. I would love to preach all morning about that verse. It's one of my favorites. Just go preach your own sermon later on that one. Just write that one down and go have yourself a little feast over at the prayer room. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. So the one that loves Jesus is the one that obeys the Jesus teachings. And the one that says, I love Jesus, that doesn't obey the Jesus teachings, they're a liar and the truth is not in them. This is equally important for us to identify in our own soul as well as our friend's soul, as well as what's going on with others, because we want to make sure we are hoisting the banner that Jesus hoists, not hoisting the banner that our generation is hoisting. We want to make sure we are in alignment with the truth of the word. How about the one that's loved by the Father? John 14, 21 says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one that loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I want to be loved by the Father. Keep the commands of Jesus. Well, I really want to be loved by the Father, but I don't really like those commands thing. You're a liar and the truth is not in you. It's just John. I'm just quoting John. Just tell me when I'm misquoting it, but if I'm quoting it right. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he is the one that loves me. And the one that loves me will be loved by my Father. The one with sincere love. 1 Peter 1:22. You have purified yourselves. How? By obeying the truth. So that you have sincere love. The one that has sincere love obeys the truth. Sincere love is not emotion, it's not facial expression, it's not how high they jump in worship. Sincere love is obeying the truth. This stuff is confrontational. Welcome, visitors. Welcome to Forerunner Fellowship, the most confrontational place on the planet. I already had this sermon set before you came today, so. The one with sincere love is the one that obeys the truth. We've got to be those that obey the truth. The one in whom God's love is made complete. I just love that phrase. God's love made complete. Look what it says, 1 John 2:5. If anyone obeys his word, the word of God, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. You want to know if you're a Christian? This is how you know. You know you're a Christian by obeying the word. Now remember, you're still but dust. So there's a lot you're going to struggle with. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It just means you aim for it. And then when you fail, you go, oh God, help. Instead of saying, yep, see, I'm dust. I can do what I want. That's pride and it comes before the fall. We want to be those that, yes, you are weak. I recognize, like, man, how am I going to do all this? Listen, just try. That's all I could do. Just try and don't make excuses anymore. Just try. Just go, God help me. I want to obey. There's a lot about my process of obeying that looks kind of weak. Will you help sprinkle a little something on there from heaven? Help me. He'll go, yeah, I like that. I'll totally help you. That's a very different thought process. Weakness is very different than rebellion. It's totally different. But a lot of times it'll look similar on the outside. Because weakness, I did the dumb thing. And nobody knows the ache of the soul that you have over the dumb thing you did. And you're crying, oh God, please help me not do the dumb thing. Please help me, help me, help me. That's sincerity. That's obedience. That's repentance. That is weakness, and we have all got it. The other side says, I'm tired of being weak. I'm tired of being told I can't do what I want to do. I'm in charge now. And I'll call myself whatever I want. I'll call myself a Christian. I'll call myself a leader. I'll call myself this or that. But I'm going to live my way. That's rebellion, and that person is going to hell. I mean, it's really simple. And it's the choice of the heart, because you could see yourself saying either, couldn't you? In your heart, you're like, oh, there are days. Oh, ask God for help. This is why it's a road of humility. It says, I am meek and lowly of heart. Jesus wants us to enter into a lifestyle of humility, not a lifestyle of pride, a lifestyle of humility. You know what? If you're humble, you have a recognition you don't have all the things you need. If you're humble, it's you're recognizing that you have great lack, great weakness. You need God. You need help. He actually wants to keep us there all the days of our life. It's important to God that you never grow out of needing him. It's important, which is part of the reason he created us as just dust pieced together, so that we would remain in a place of weakness and humility, that we would constantly be needing him instead of us getting to a point where we're all sufficient. Listen, there is no person, there is no Christian, there is no leader that has arrived to the point that the struggle of obedience is gone. It's not real. It's part of the journey. So you're like, how long is it going to be this way? Just a little while, just till you die. Just till you get a resurrected body, you know, just till you're up there with him. Just a minute. Well, that sounds like a long minute. Well, it is, but there's also some perks along the way. We've got to walk with Jesus in obedience all the days of our life. There's no way out. This is how he defines love, that we would obey him. You know what the other side of this does, though? Oh, gosh, this one, it's so painful. We know the story of the prodigal son, right? I just want to read the first phrase, well, one phrase out of this little passage that I've got, Luke 15:13. The younger son got together all he had, and he set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth on wild living. I don't even want to look at the wild living. I just want to look at, he set off for a distant country. When we decide on disobedience, when we do not obey, when we do not walk with the Lord, we are setting a distance gap between us and the Father on purpose. We can't live a life of the greatest commandment to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength and operate in disobedience, because to operate in disobedience, to not do what he says, we are setting ourselves off for a distant country, as far away from him as we can get. We are creating a distance between us and the Lord. And that's the total opposite of what all of us want. I mean, we just got to recognize the impact of the decision. Let's not just think that we can walk in our own ways, that we can turn away from the ways of the Lord, that we can just disobey, that it doesn't have any cost. It totally has a cost. It has a giant cost on the greatest commandment. We create distance between us and the one we're trying to love with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We don't want that distance. We want to be close and closer and closer. And the closer you get to the Lord, the more you want what the Lord wants, the more that you're able to let go of things, the more convicted you are of sin. Oh my gosh. You know, part of the way he keeps us humble, as you continue to grow in love for Jesus, he identifies things that were always wrong with you that you just never saw. They were there all along. This has been wrong for 20 years. Why are we just now talking about it? He's like, well, if I'd have told you everything day one, it'd have killed you. I like you too much to tell you everything that's wrong with you, but we are in a process here working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And as we grow in the Lord, he shows us things that are out of place, motives that are wrong, and it's opportunity again and again our whole life through to walk closer with him, to obey him, and to deal with the issues of our heart. We want to be those that don't create distance, but that walk with him. Few ways you can do that. If you're taking notes, maybe just a few little ideas. Disobedience to the written word of God. Don't do it. Don't do it. You can wind up off course. I'm talking about Sunday morning, clapping, singing, having a quiet time every day, loving Jesus, signed up for a prayer meeting over at the prayer room, and then you look at the Bible and say, no, I won't do it. You can't make me. You're going to wind up distant from God because of disobedience. Because remember, the way that the Lord defines love is by obeying what he commands, the written commands of the word. But it's not just that. It's also his leading and his instruction. We can't ignore the Holy Spirit's nudges. We can't ignore the Holy Spirit's leading and giving us, you know, correction and words that are things that we know that the Lord is doing and wanting to do with us that we may not necessarily have a Bible verse about, but you just know between you and the Lord, you know that's something that he's after in your life. We can't run away from that. We can't disobey that and wind up in a good place. That's actually, it's disobedience. And the area of obedience is so important to the subject of love. For some, it's ministry direction. Some people feel called to ministry and they're like, nope, that was my mom and dad. I saw the perils of that. I'm not doing it. I am not doing that. The Lord's like, I didn't ask you. I gave you some instructions about your life. We can't be like Jonah. You know, Jonah got a ministry calling, and he said no. Got ate up by a big old fish. Don't get eat up by a big old fish. This church isn't too big. We can't afford to have too many of you eaten by fish. Okay? Jonah ran away from a ministry calling. Let me tell you, you can't run away from a ministry calling if it's God that spoke it and wind up in obedience to Jesus. You're actually running away. You're being a Jonah. You can't run away from God's ministry calling. Some of you are like, well, okay, well, I'll do this, but I won't do that. It's not a negotiation. He's God. You can't play cards with God and win. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. If he's calling you to something, you can't just ignore that and be all right. You're creating distance. Don't create distance. Disobedience to the leaders he put over us. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders, submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. That is a terrifying statement, by the way. You think being led has perils. Being a leader, gonna have to give an account before God. Horrifying. Don't mess it up, leaders. Don't mess it up, leaders. Oh my gosh, that's horrifying. They keep watch over you as those who have to give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. I just want to say it this way. Some of us are confused when our leaders are trying to help us, even if they're wrong. They're trying. I mean, they're human too. Remember, they're just dust. So it's like, are they going to make some mistakes? Probably. They're human. What we do, we're really good at mistakes. It's like we're epic at that. Okay, but they're trying, and they're going to have to give an account for the decisions that they make. But look what it says. We think when our leaders are leading us left, and we're like, no, I want to go this way. We think us going the other direction is of benefit to us. We think we're smarter. We think we've got it all figured out. Hebrews says, that is of no advantage to you. You think it's an advantage. It's actually creating distance. It's not an advantage. It is not helpful. You think it is, but you're wrong. It's not true. Obey your leaders. They're trying to do the best they can. And as a leader who's trying to do the best I can, man, all this, it just resonates with me. I'm just like, oh, Jesus, help. It's real, but it's a subject of obedience. Like, it's really intense. We want to avoid the enemies of love. We don't want to give in to the things that are going to wind up taking us further away from the Lord. I want to give you this last verse that we'll look at for today. Well, second to the last. You know me, I like to throw in verses. Galatians 5:16 says this, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, that's what this whole subject is about. Because if his commands didn't ask us to do something that we didn't want to do, or if his commands did ask us to do something that was something that we didn't want to give up, it wouldn't be an issue. The problem is we have these desires of the flesh. He says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. Can I get an amen? Oh my gosh, my flesh desires things that are contrary to the spirit. They're contrary to the Bible. They're contrary to the instructions of the Lord. And I don't like it, but it's real. But as we walk by the spirit, we don't have to give into it. It says that those things are in conflict with each other. Oh, we all feel that one, don't we? The conflict. It's like a war raging inside of us. We know what right is, but we really want to do wrong. It's like, I really, really want this wrong thing. God, if I really, really, really want it, does that trump the fact that you said don't do it? Because I really, really, I could throw in four more reallys, really. They're in conflict with each other. They're in the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness. He said, these things are in conflict, man. They're in conflict. They're in conflict. We need to look at that conflict as the war for obedience, the war for love, the battlefield for love. Those two things are in conflict, and they're both inside of you, because you wouldn't be here listening to a series on the greatest commandment if you didn't have something in you that's like, I want to love God. I want to do something. I want to know him. I want to walk with him. So there's this conflict, though, because you have desires of the flesh as well. And I wish they all just went away when we gave our lives to Jesus. They didn't. We were just given power to overcome them. But I really wish they would have gotten extracted. Wouldn't that have been easier? I would love to be a robot. That would just be the coolest. Just God says left, and I say, yes, sir. And I just go left. It's never a problem. It's blasted free will. It's so tough. I've got choices to make. And so many of them I want to make wrong. He says, listen, there's a conflict in you. I get it. There's a conflict. Just don't give in. And when you do, repent. For the love of all good things, repent. Don't justify the fact that you gave in. Instead, call it sin, ask for help, and move on. We want to walk by the Spirit. We don't want to give in to the flesh. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 16:24. He said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. They must deny themselves. There's things that you want. This is the issue of obedience. It's you want to do this thing. God says, that's not good for you. Don't do it. It's not an option. We take it optionally. We're like, God, he's just playing. He says, no, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to learn to deny yourself. So in a generation right now that is saying, this is okay, this is who you were made to be. This is what you want, so go do it. Oh, you're just a little this way. You're just like this. This is how you are. It's a lie. We need to learn to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. And then he'll give us grace. He'll help us. I don't mean it'll be easy. There's lots of things that are not easy. And remember, the thing that you want to do that's so bad isn't the same thing that the other guy or gal wants to do. They want to do something completely else that's bad. Each of us are on a unique journey trying to crucify our flesh. Each of us. But don't let anybody convince you that one desire is different than the other desires. They're all the same. They're all the same. We have evil desires. They are real. We've got to learn to deny our flesh, take up our cross and ask God for help. And he says, whenever you do it, every time you do it, every time you obey, God counts it as love. So in this subject of the greatest commandment, man, if we figured out how to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we still got a whole world left in loving him with all of our obedience. So just if you thought you mastered those four, just because I know you thought you were all pros, right? We've got something called the next level. I mean, the final frontier to love God with all of our obedience, because this is love that we obey his commands.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.